We all know that there are two ordinances in the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And baptism marks the entrance into the Christian life. I'm not suggesting that we're saved when we're baptized, I'm just simply saying baptism demonstrates our union with Jesus Christ. It's one of the reasons why I like to baptize by immersion, because it's the death and burial and resurrection of our union with Jesus Christ. And then the Lord's Supper is, baptism is a one-time experience. The Lord's Supper is something we repeatedly do, which shows our abiding, our remaining in Jesus Christ, and remembering that all our blessings are given through him. And I like this, the statement that I repeated this morning, where I said, in both of these ordinances, one thing is seen and another thing is understood. I think that's a good way to remember the ordinances. One thing is seen and another thing is understood. Because we see a person being baptized, and whether they are sprinkled, some people engage in sprinkling, or whether there is the immersion by baptism by immersion, you're seeing one thing. And it's interesting to me that if there was someone who had no idea what was taking place in baptism, had no knowledge whatsoever, and they saw a baptism service, I think they would wonder, you know, what is going on? Because all they would see is the physical act, and they don't know the truth that is to be understood. I mean, it looks like if you become a Christian, the pastor takes you out and halfway tries to drown you, which is not really what is really going on, but it looks that way. I mean, it would sort of be curious. They say, why are we walking out into water, and why are we baptizing people in the water? And likewise, the Lord's Supper, why are we observing this if we don't understand the truth? So there's one thing that is seen and another thing that is understood. And we see the physical and we understand the spiritual. We see the symbol and we understand the truth. So, Jesus Christ is the one who established the Lord's Supper. I'm not sure the disciples fully understood the significance of the Lord's Supper when he established that with them in the upper room. I think they understood a lot more later when the Holy Spirit was teaching the truth to their hearts. But Jesus Christ first established the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, and then he accomplished the ordinance by his death, burial, and resurrection, and by the securing of our salvation. And we talked about this morning. I'm not going to go through talking about the elements again. The bread represents substitutionary atonement. The cup represents the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And both of these symbols are very important. And we partake of them, we receive them, because it's the blessing of Jesus Christ that makes us live. And when Jesus observed this with them, it says that they went out and they sang a hymn. And as I said this morning, they were not hymns. They didn't have a hymn book back then because there weren't any hymns. So what they're singing is they're singing a psalm. And probably, I'm saying probably, they sang one of the Hallel psalms. That would be from Psalm 113 to 118. I'm going to look at those psalms with you in just a moment. And they sang it or they chanted it. We don't really know. This is one of those times when I'd love to be there and see how these men in this upper room sang a hymn or chanted a hymn. And I'd like to know what they chanted and what they sang. But clearly it says that they did this. And in history, again, not at the time of Passover, but in history, the Hallel Psalms were sung at Passover. I say not when it happened, because the Passover goes all the way back to the very beginning of Israel as a nation. And they were saved and brought out of slavery. When that happened, there were no Hallel psalms to be sung. But in time, the Hallel, the praise, that word means it's from hallelujah, but the praise songs became associated with the deliverance because of some of the things that are stated about Egypt in these songs. So they sang these psalms. And the question is, why did they sing these songs? And the answer is because it's a praise worship that takes place at the end of the Lord's Supper. These Hallel psalms are really lifting up your voices in praise and glory to God for what He has done. This is His truth. This is His work. This is His accomplishment. So having observed the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, what you do when you're done is you sing praise to God, which is the part of the service. It isn't that you observe communion and then by tradition or something we sing a hymn and then we depart. The singing and the worship of God is a part of the Lord's Supper. It's a part of the praise to God for that which He has accomplished. It's associated with the Passover. So I was preparing for the message this morning, I thought to myself, do the Jews, and I didn't think they did, but do any of the Jews still take blood from the sacrifice, from the lamb, and put it on the doorposts? And it was really interesting when you look this up and you read some of the things that are written about this, but you know, some of the people said, well, sometimes we used to do that, but we got tired of having to clean off the blood off our doorpost and repainting all the time, so we stopped doing that. And then some of them said, well, we took some of the, more of the, like the blood mixed with grease from the cooking of the lamb and kind of put a little bit on each part, and that was sort of sufficient for us. And it's easier to clean that off the doorpost after you've done that. And then I read a rabbi, and this seems kind of scandalous to me, but I read a rabbi who said, nah, we don't do that anymore. Instead, he says, I just put a note on the doorpost, and the note goes like, we're busy inside, so if you're the death angel, please go somewhere else. And I'm like, I'm not sure that's really in keeping with what the Lord had in mind. Because the deliverance of the people from slavery and from bondage was a picture of the God who saves. And for Passover to be a reminder of the God who saves and saves from death, for that to be the picture, and then for the Lord to say, or for the Old Testament to say, this Passover is to be observed every year. You are to continually observe that. That puts a future look on this. Why should we do this every year? Just remembering? Or is this remembering with a future look? And it's really a remembrance with a future look. And sometimes the Jews forgot. And they just looked at it as if this is a historical thing. But they forgot that this is the God who delivers His people from not only from slavery and bondage, but from sin and death. And there's this future hope about the Passover. So I want to look at these Hallel psalms. So turn in your Bible to Psalm 113. And this, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, because if you say, well, are we going to go through all of these? And the answer is no. But I can just tell you these are six psalms. And I'm going to read a couple of them, but I'm not going to read all of them. But Psalm 113, I'm going to read this psalm, is about humility and exaltation. This is one of the psalms that I think if Jesus was singing the Hallel songs, the praise songs, that this may have been a good choice for Him to sing. Because it's about the Lord who humbles and humbled Himself and in order that we should be exalted, which is exactly what He did upon the cross. Psalm 114 has to do with the Lord as master. And the Lord as master delivering his people from Egypt. Psalm 115 is the Lord, the great I am, who is greater than idols, a comparison to sticks and stones and making gods out of sticks and stones that cannot hear, cannot see, cannot understand. Rather, we trust in the Lord, the great I am, and that he will bless. That's all in Psalm 115. Psalm 116, we look at this a little bit, but he's the God, the Lord God who delivers from death. Psalm 117 is a very short psalm, but where all the nations are called to worship the Lord. All the nations, this is truth that belongs to the Gentiles even. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Love him, all your people. And then it speaks of his merciful kindness is great toward us. The truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. As if the Gentiles, I'm not sure that would be the one that he would have sung in the upper room. Could have, I just don't know. But this blessing is a blessing that goes out not just to Israel being delivered from Egypt, but this blessing, the greater blessing from deliverance from sin and death goes out to the Gentiles as well. And then Psalm 118, I'm just going to read a little bit of part of that psalm as well, but it really speaks of the loyal love of the Lord and his unfailing love. And I'm just going to read, I'll go back to Psalm 113. Because these psalms lift our hearts up to praise God. That's the purpose of singing. That's the purpose of hymns. It's not just to recite something. It's not just that we need something to do at the beginning of our services. But really, it's to lift our hearts up to worship God. And the psalms speak of mighty things. And they speak of the very ways in which we should come before the Lord in thankfulness and praise to him for all that he has done. And when we think of Jesus Christ being our substitute and our Savior and being the one who provides all the blessings of the heavenly places to us, it should cause our hearts to finish by saying, and glory be to God. Glory be to God for all that he has given. And all of this is free to us, freely given to us. It's a mighty work of God. I said this morning, salvation is a work. And I love to say that, so then there's some people in the audience that pass out cold when I say that. And then I say, it's not a work of man, it's the work of God. But it is a great work. It is a serious work. It is an immense work. It's an eternal work. And it is a work that only God can do. So we're saved by the working of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're saved by Jesus Christ dying upon the cross. We're saved by all that he accomplishes and all that God does. Because only he can do this. Scooping up the sin of sinners and putting it on the Lord Jesus Christ and charging him with our sin and then pouring out the wrath of God upon him. Until God's wrath is satisfied, his eternal wrath upon his eternal Son, until our eternal salvation is secure. This is amazing. If there's anything that should make us praise God, it's simply that. But then God promises the blessings in a covenant. And again, remember that a covenant is not necessary for a God who never lies. A covenant is necessary for us. Why is it necessary for us? Because a covenant is a promise with an oath. It's a promise that is secured with an oath. The way we do that today is we sign contracts. So we make a promise, we're going to do something, we're going to buy a house, we're going to buy a car or something, and then we say, okay, we will borrow from the bank and we will pay the bank in this manner. And the bank says, sign this paper. Sign this, because you're making a promise and you're signing it with an oath saying, I'm going to do this, or you can just have the whole thing. So we sign it. The Bible says that God never lies. He never needs to make an oath. And the only way he can make an oath is for God to swear by himself. So he makes the oath. This new covenant, the blessings from the substitutionary atonement, is sealed with God making a covenant, a new covenant, which is for us to know that what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross is forever ours in this form of blessings. The word written upon our heart, the full forgiveness of our sins, a new spirit, a new heart for God, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit forever, the righteousness of Christ charged to us when we believe, imputed to us. These are all the blessings, and God says, I'm promising these blessings to you, and I seal it with an oath, the new covenant. And that's such a wonderful thing that Jesus says to his disciples, okay, take this bread and eat it, and take this cup and drink it, because I'm doing this for you. And this whole promise is given. So we should be thankful that God makes the results of the cross a covenant promise, which God gives so that we will say that is really secure. That is really ours. So they sing words of praise. Look at Psalm 113. They may have sung this psalm. Praise the Lord. Hallel. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? He humbles himself. He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. Jesus, it's wonderful. By the way, we're going to have the privilege one day, I hope. I hope this is something they're going to do, I'm not sure. But I hope that we're going to be in the presence of the Lord when we read through Scripture. Because this is speaking of him. And it's a wonderful thing to know that who is like the Lord our God, to be in the presence of the Lord, saying, who is like the Lord our God? And if the disciples are singing this, they're singing this, and there's the Lord, their God, right there with them. That's amazing. That's just amazing. And he's going to do exactly what this psalm says. He's humbled himself to concern himself with the likes of us, in order that he may lift us up with all of the blessings that he possibly can give us. You know what delights the heart of God throughout all eternity? What delights the Lord in all eternity is pouring out his blessings upon you to his glory. Pouring out blessings upon us. It never ends. And it begins with the cross of Jesus Christ for us. That's why he says, never forget this. This is where all of your blessings begin. It's being in Christ and receiving the fact that he died on the cross to save you from your sins, and we receive him, and he gives us life. And we receive all the blessings, the fullness of all of the blessings. That's what this psalm is speaking about. This Lord who comes down, he concerns himself with us in order that he may lift us up and seat us with princes, to seat us upon his throne. It's amazing. Look at Psalm 116. I'm not going to talk about the idols. I'm not going to speak of the deliverance from Egypt, but I'm going to go to this. And it speaks in Psalm 16 of the Lord who delivers from death. Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. The rabbi, let me stop there. The rabbi who penned and said, you know, if you're the death angel, pass over because we're busy tonight. Had no understanding that the deliverance of the people physically from Egypt was yet a picture of what we understand, the Lord delivering our souls from death. I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all the benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation. That's an interesting expression there. I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. This is the sound of someone who has been saved. Did the disciples understand that what was taking place with Jesus Christ was going to be the essence of their salvation, the totality of their salvation in Jesus Christ upon the cross? I'm not sure they grasp all that at this point. They would grasp that. I'm not sure they got that. And maybe they sang this song, speaking of the Lord who saves their souls and delivers them. And that you're going to take up the cup of salvation in remembrance of him. Well, this is wondrous truth. And then you look at Psalm 118, and I'm not going to read Psalm 118. I encourage you to read all of these Hallel Psalms, Psalm 113 through 118, and read them in the context of Passover, and read them in the context of the Lord's Supper. But look at Psalm 118, look at verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let me just stop there. We usually think of this is the day that the Lord has made when we're at camp. And we sing this song and before we eat lunch. We say, this is the day the Lord has made, thinking of this day that the Lord has made. But it's this day that the Lord has made, the day in which the stone becomes, the rejected becomes the chief cornerstone. This is the great day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And we rejoice and be glad in it when we partake of these elements, but pointing to Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with the cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. This is the Lord who is sacrificed for us. And we receive the blessings. So when we partake of the bread, we're remembering the cross. We're remembering substitutionary atonement. Jesus in our place, dying to save us. And when we take the cup, we're thinking of the blessings that he gives. If he doesn't die for us and save us, there are no blessings for us. These two go together. You can't have one without the other. His death, all of his blessings. And so we rejoice in all that God has done and is giving to us. And it's like here in this psalm, it says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Maybe the Lord sang some of this, I don't know. It'd be wonderful to be singing this, even the disciples, and remembering afterwards what they were singing to the Lord. Lord, we're rejoicing in this. We're rejoicing in that you're the cornerstone. We're rejoicing that our salvation is based upon you alone. You're building up this temple of the Lord's people and based upon Christ alone. And you save us. You save us from sin. You save us from death. You save us completely. And you bless us and bless us and bless us and bless us. We have a great hope in this God who provides unlimited eternal blessings through Jesus Christ. And that's why the communion service really ends in praise. It ends in thanksgiving to God. We're going to be thanking God forever for the riches of his grace that is given to us. And these psalms also speak of the loyal love of God which never fails. Hesed, interpreted as loving kindness. I like it to speak of it as loyal love that never fails. Loyal love of God. He's blessed us. He keeps us. And all of this is the great blessing that we have. So we're going to partake of the elements. And we're going to do so remembering the cross, remembering the covenant blessings that God has secured for us, and rejoicing in him. So first, the remembrance, then the praise. And we'll sing a hymn of praise when we finish to the glory of God. And we should sing in rejoicing praise, happiness praise, because of all that God has accomplished for us. So let me pray. I'm going to pray for the beginning of communion. I'll pray for the blessing of God upon the bread, and then we'll partake of these elements. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the salvation that we have only in him. And we love to look at our own hearts and say, there is no hope in us. There is no way that we could accomplish so great a salvation. We were born into this world as sinners. We contributed to our sinful nature with acts of sin, and we are contemptible in your sight. And yet you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. We need such a salvation, and we're thankful that it was accomplished by Jesus Christ upon the cross. And we're thankful, Father, that you are satisfied completely with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and that when he died in our place for our sins, we are saved forever. We thank you that we partake of this bread because we've partaken of the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. He in our place, saving us from your wrath and judgment, because he received that wrath and judgment in himself. We're thankful that you are the God who saves. And we're thankful for the blessings that we have as well. But bless the bread as we partake of it, remembering the cross of Jesus Christ, substitutionary atonement, and the great work that accomplished so great a salvation for us. We praise and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we receive him by faith in him. Bless the bread as we partake of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.